But I really thought about what am I going to speak about here this morning. And often God speaks to you in a dream. And that's exactly what happened to me. And last week, Sammy preached a great message. And it was basically a lot of what he was speaking was on my heart. That the Holy Spirit often needs to prompt us in things that we're doing. My keynotes preach begins with a commitment. And the scripture that is really on my heart is Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. So we have a choice. Whether the gods, which is your father's, served, or were they on the other side of the river, and the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Many of us have been very committed Christians for a very, very long time. And our heart is fixed on serving the Lord. I've been very blessed in my life, in my walk with God. I know I have a calling to go out and share the gospel, to share that love. I have that passion that wants to tell people about that Jesus that's made a difference in my life. And I know many of you here have that same passion. You can hear it when you hear the worship here this morning, that passion. Do you know, for me, I was sitting down there and it was like 1,000 voices. The passion came out. I'm blessed with an amazing wife. I often tell her to be more bold. She's got a gentle spirit, but she sees such a lot. And she often gives me a prompt to do different things. And yesterday, she wanted me to go and help her in her work. And I didn't really want her to be truthful, but I knew she needed my support. But what really blessed me on the way home, she was doing some medicals with a lady, and she started to talk to this lady. And this lady shared that she wanted to have a child, and how disappointed she was. And Judy said, well, I'll pray for you. That was Judy coming out of her comfort zone. But she prayed for that lady that she will have a child. She's committed. Committed. She's a passionate woman that's committed to Christ. When I say my God, he is my God. He's my saviour. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. He's everything. He's a mighty God, King of kings and Lord of lords. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He died for me. He saved me. He restored me. I can witness of that many, many times, of his restoration in my life. I know it's not just my testimony. Many of you have got a testimony here of what God has done for you. How he loved you. How he still loves you. How he changed your life. So as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Can you say that today? We have another chair here. I've sat in that chair. It represents a chair of compromise. Many people sit in this chair and they're Christians. They know the Lord. They're happy to tell people they're Christians. But are they really happy to be totally committed in their calling? Are they happy to be totally committed? Are you totally sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ? Because there's always a price. When I tell my friends about Jesus, do I think, well, what do they think about me? Are you worried about you offend someone? There's nothing wrong with having nice things. There's nothing wrong with having a nice car. But is that what really governs your life? You know, in our life, there's many things that can draw us away from the things of God. Because basically, our minds could be carnal. And then we have a third chair. I'm not sure you can all read this. It says conflict. It's the natural place that most of us have started at. We were born. We were born into sin. And many times you want to share the good news of the gospel with someone. And they'll just push you away and say they're not really interested. Some people even sit and they'll mock what's going on. They'll mock what's going on in the service. They'll laugh. They won't really pay attention to God's word. They won't even confess to being a Christian. Okay, fine, that's their choice. My big concern is this land, this country. What we see in our land today is a total conflict of following God's principles. Many of you know I'm passionate about praying the Lord's Prayer. I see now, today, in schools, they don't pray the Lord's Prayer in assembly. When I went to school, every time we went in Sunday morning, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we would pray the Lord's Prayer. School would open with the Lord's Prayer. You see assemblies now. Mayors stand up and the Lord's Prayer's not preached anymore. Instead, they preach the Quran. Where are we going in this nation? Where are we going? Institutions, they don't open with the Lord's Prayer anymore. It's not important to them. So I've sat in this chair. There was a time I sat in this chair. I had wonderful parents that brought me up. Every day they would pray the Lord's Prayer with me. Every Sunday they would make sure I went off to church. Went to Sunday school. Why? Because they were committed. They loved me. They cared for me. But I made choices. There was a conflict of what I wanted to do. I moved across to here for a while, but then I get back in here. But maybe you're sitting in this chair today. You're in conflict. I know many out there in the world are in conflict. So what can we do? We can pray for them. Because we know. We know that story of the prodigal son. Harry went away and did his own thing for many, many years. And Colin just alluded to a situation that he has been speaking with someone. And this resonated with me. That God is there. His arms are open. He will receive anyone. Anyone. Why? Because he loves them so much. He's an awesome God. He's an amazing God. He's a loving God. You know, church, it says in Matthew 5, 3 to 16, that we are called to be salt and light in this earth. We're called to be salt and light. When we find people in this chair that are in conflict, people don't always plan to get in that chair, but they do. We need to be salt and light. We need to show them love. We need to be graceful. We need to be humble when we speak to them. So many of us will sit back in this chair, the chair of compromise. It's the present for us right now. So I want to lead on to a scripture. Moving on. And if you have a Bible, or an iPhone, or whatever you use these days. I often use my iPad, but thought I'd bring my new Bible that my dear friends bought me for my 70th birthday. And when I turn to Joshua, and I read that verse, and the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God, we will serve his voice and obey." Joshua in action, letting life in the Holy Spirit bring faith and works alive in you. Are you ready, church, to let that life come into you? So when we look at these two chairs, it's no different to those Old Testament days. And I want you to turn to two judges, beginning at verse 7. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inherent Timnath-Heres, in the mountain of Ephraim, on the north side of the Mount Gash. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose. After them, they did not know him, nor the work which he had done for Israel. So those scriptures really are just reiterating what I was sharing with the chairs. That we have got a responsibility as a church, as an individual. And a favourite scripture of mine, as an evangelist is not just someone that goes out and speaks on the street and faces people and talks to them and tries to influence them to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their saviour. An evangelist is someone, and I've been involved in doing a lot travelling around, is encouraging other people in evangelism. And for this, I've chosen a chapter, a whole chapter. And it's, "I am the vine." It's John 15. And it reads, "I am the vine and my Father is the gardener." John 15, 1. "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch does not bear fruit, he prunes it. So it will be even more fruitful. I find myself, when I was ill, I had to find something to do. I took up gardening. I'm not really a gardener, but I planted roses. And I find it this morning, I was out there clipping my roses, thinking about, I'm going to be standing up sharing this in a minute. But when I clip those roses, the dead roses, new ones appear, new life comes. I've been growing a few tomatoes. And those little shoots on the end, if you take off those little shoots, it brings forth more fruit. The fruit grows. So it's, you may think, well, it's a bit rough chopping off things. But it makes you more fruitful. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So what it's saying there, church, is that we need to stay close to the Lord. I am the vine, you are the branches. If any man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burnt. If you remain in me and in my words, remain in you and ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. My commandment is that you love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he lays life down for his friends. You are my friends if you do not do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because you do not know the master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, and the fruit will last. And the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Now, I've done a little bit of a Bible study on those verses. Excuse me. Verse 1. The Messiah Jesus becomes the new Israel, the true vine from which believers draw their life. God's pruning or correction, discipline is necessary that our lives become more like Christ and bear fruit of his character. Verse 2. Verse 3. Listen and obey the words as cleansing affects our lives. Sometimes we hear things that we don't really want to hear because we're sitting over here in this chair here. And somebody says to you, should you really be doing that? Is that a wise place to go? To imitate continuing correction of faith and obedience in Jesus is necessary so our lives bear fruit within his character. Verse 4. We dwell in Christ and he dwells in us. A mutual indwelling. We are not alone. Now, a favourite scripture of mine, and it's been Psalm 23. That whole psalm, that when we're in situations, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And I've walked through that valley. Yea, though I walk through that valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because Christ is with me. He's with you. Whatever you're going through today, each one of you, he's always held my hand. I'm sure many of you can testify of this. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's there for you, each one of you. When we try and accomplish spiritual work on our own, the strength and result is small. We can do nothing that is lasting result without relying on Jesus' strength through us. We must practice dependence on him, not independence from him. There were many years that in this church that I was dependent on what the preacher would say, listen. And then I suddenly found that I'm on my own. And this wife of mine sent me on the mission field. And I suddenly find that I'm having to speak to people that didn't know about Jesus. And suddenly somebody said someone was sick. And suddenly I'm put in the place of having to pray for someone. Just like Judy did the other day. And you come to realize it's not about you. It's about him. He is the healer. He is the Saviour. He is the Deliverer. But how are they here without a preacher? How are they here, church? You don't have to stand up here to be a preacher. You can be like what Judy did, and she's probably cross with me sitting upstairs now, talking about her. But she just shared the love of Jesus with someone that wanted a child. We can all do things like that. If the Holy Spirit lives within you, that power is within you. You just need to release it. I'm sure others could stand up here and say testimonies of what they've done. You know, we've got a new pastor coming. I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited. But we can't rely on the pastor. Church, we've got to get around this pastor. We've got to surround him. There's lots that we can do. Lots that we can do to help this man of God that God has brought here. You know, in my life, I've met some really good guys, some really committed people that inspire me. And from time to time, I go and visit a man. He's in his 80s now. He can hardly walk. And we spoke very recently together. And he reminisced about this place, about this church. What he got from this church. How he misses this church. And he often weeps when he's sharing about it. And he said, Peter, I'm not an apostle. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a teacher. I'm not this. I'm that. But once, he said, somebody stood up here and they spoke about being a help. And my God, this man is a tremendous help. In all the years I've known him, all he's wanted to do is serve and help. That man is committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be committed, church. Verse 7. One of these blessings is abiding in Christ. Letting his words and character infuse us is answered prayer since we're much more likely to be praying according to his will. The fruit of Jesus grows and consists in a godly character, well as effectiveness, whatever the mission he calls us to. So whatever we're called to do, church, we do it with all our might, lifting up his name, the name above every name. You know, those songs that we sang today were amazing. We were praising God. And for me, it was like 1,000 voices in here. Abiding in Christ means loving him, which results in a willing and obedience to his commandments. You know, obedience is so important. I've often held up these 5 fingers when I've spoken. I learned this from the man that inspired me. We need to be faithful. We need to be available. That is key. We need to be available. We need to be teachable. We need to be obedient. And we need to be spirit-filled servants. It's the Spirit that brings forth life. The Holy Spirit. Jesus doesn't want us to operate as unthinking servants, but as friends, willing, knowledgeable participants of growing in the kingdom. We have been chosen by God to appoint and produce lasting fruit in the kingdom. Now, I have a prayer, having shared those thoughts as a disciple. Father, thank you for including us in your vine. Help us to accept your pruning with trust. Help us to rely on Jesus so that when we bear his fruit and so glorify you, Thank you for the immense privilege of being Jesus' friends. In his holy name we pray. Amen, church. Let's talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit now. You know, we have an advantage over Jesus' disciples because we understand what they didn't. Unlike them, we know exactly what Jesus meant when he said, in just a little while, you won't see me anymore. If you look at your Bible in John 16:16, because we do not do understand that Jesus was speaking of his death and resurrection, let us not overlook the amazing fact that Jesus foretold what was about to take place. How did he know, you may think? How did he know? Because only God himself could reveal with such knowledge. Jesus is God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One of the ways the Holy Spirit will help us in spreading the gospel and leading people to Jesus is the one which convicts people of their sin, of those not believing. So we can share with people in this seat, but it's the Holy Spirit that's going to convict them. We can share and share and share. And that's what we're called to do. Share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's that Holy Spirit that's going to convict someone. That moment. And sometimes you're sharing the gospel and nothing appears to happen. You've spoken to that person, you've shared with that person, and nothing appears to happen. Then all of a sudden, something happens. Again, I'm going to tell a story. I've been working with a dear friend, a pastor locally. And he hasn't got a big church like this. He's got a small church. And we would go out once a month. I'd be helping him to do an outreach. And we would go out handing tracts. And normally when I'm out in the street or whatever I'm doing, I'm praying. I might not be verbally praying, but I'm praying. I'm walking, I'm praying. I'm driving my car, I'm praying. My Bible says, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. This particular day, we're in the middle of the high street. And I felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Did he talk to me? No. Was it in a dream? No. Just felt prompted by the Holy Spirit. Go and pray for that man. The man's wearing a turban. So I thought, well, there could be a bit of conflict here. But I knew what God was telling me to do. So I got on my knees and I prayed for this man. And he said, oh, my knee is getting hot. What's happening? I said, just the Holy Spirit touching you. This is my friend. He's a pastor. He'd like to invite you to his church. My friend went round and followed him up. The man didn't come. My friend goes on holiday. He's away for 2 weeks. He's gone to St. Lucia in the sun. And I'm there, standing in his church, going to preach for 2 weeks. In walks this man. I was shocked. You know, even someone who you may think, well, it's okay for you, you're an evangelist, you're doing this all the time. We need to be encouraged. I was so encouraged that this man came. You know, it's like the 10 lepers, isn't it? You know, they don't all come back when they're healed. The next week he comes back again. And he gives a testimony how his knee is really good now. I really shared the love of Christ with him. But he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready. He knew a little bit about Jesus. He was kind of between there and there, you know. These two chairs. He wanted to be here, but he really felt that he needed to be there because he was a Sikh. He really wasn't ready to move across. So I want to encourage you, church. It's God that will make the change. But we're called to present the good news of the gospel. To show the love that you have within you. Are you ready to make that commitment? Today? Or do you still want to sit in the middle? Or maybe you've been coming here a little while and you're ready to be like that prodigal son. Come back to the Father. Be totally committed. You see, it's all about choices, really. As I'm speaking, it might be my voice, but it's the Holy Spirit that will convict us. On my travels last year, I met with my dear buddy Joseph's daughter's father-in-law. Real passionate man of God. And he gave me this book. And it says, one thing you can't do when you're in heaven. Do you know what that is, church? And I pick up this book and every now and then I read it. It inspires me. And I've highlighted a few pages in here. In an introduction it says, 300 million years from now, what will be the only thing that will matter? Will it be how much money you've made? Will it be what kind of car you drove? Will it matter how your football team's done, Carl? Mine got stuffed 5-0 the week before. Sobering thoughts, aren't they, really, when you think about it? And I flicked through a few more pages. And this dear man of God, Charles Spurgeon, very profound this is. Every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. Wow. Don't have to clear off like me to India or Belgium or Romania. We could be a missionary here in Brentwood. Because my God, this country, it needs us. Each one of us. Each one of us. It needs us. It needs us to go out in those highways and byways. And I flick over a few more pages. That man's there again, Charles Spurgeon. If there be any one point in the Christian church ought to keep its fervour at a white heat, it's concerning missions. If you there be anything about you which cannot be tolerated, lukewarmness is a matter of sending the gospel out to a dying world. Lord, I pray for this nation, Father. Lord, I pray for this nation, Lord, that there will be a change in this nation, Lord. Lord Jesus, we have such a sovereign lady in our Queen, Father God. Lord, I just pray that she shines even brighter than ever, Father God. Lord, we pray, Lord, that when the ministers of this government, our Prime Minister, Father, when they come to that place of despair, they will begin to look to you for the answers, Father God, because you can make a change that no man can change. Lord, you can push mountains into the sea, Father God. Lord Jesus, I lift up this land to you, Father God. We were a nation of missionaries, Father God, that went out from the east to the west and the north to the south, Father God. Lord, I pray, Father God, that there is commitment once more in this land to you, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen, church.